Glad you could join us. And so we're going through another lesson in a series of healing the home. And so we're finding how we're having some issues just with the camera struggling to know whether to focus on me or to focus on this. And so what I'm going to do for the duration of it is I'm just going to step out of the way. And then that way it just focuses on that, and then everything will work a lot better, and you won't end up having a seizure or something with all the fluctuating of lights and stuff. So let's begin with prayer, and then I'll step out of the way, and then we'll get started this evening. Dearly Father, we just thank you for this evening that we have together, and we just thank you for the love you have for us and the help you want to give us. We just pray you bless this evening as we look at this topic of building relationships, that you just help us all in this. We ask in His name. Amen. All right. So, I want to think of this topic here. And so, the strength and health of our homes is dependent upon the strength and health of our relationships with each other. And so, if our relationships are strong, we can give mutual support to one another when we face difficult times together. But, of course, we recognize there's many forces at work which can strain and damage our relationships with each other. There's things that are happening around us, things that are happening within us, face different struggles, we make mistakes, we say things without thinking that hurt one another, and there's a lot that happens to strain and damage our relationships, and it can get to a point that when difficult times come, when we should be there for each other, when we should be helping each other, we instead start turning on each other, so we don't want that. And so it therefore is important that we are constantly working to build our relationships with each other so that they'll endure no matter what we face as families. And so that's what we want to consider this evening. Here a list of things on what it takes to build relationships. And this is the thought. When you're building anything, I know I do carpentry work, and so there's a lot that goes into building a structure. You have to have the different materials, but you also need to have the blueprint. You also have to have the different tools that you need. You have to have a different purpose. You have to have things kind of scheduled and planned out. So it's, if you're going to successfully build anything, you need a lot of different things. And when it comes to building relationships, that is certainly true. And so I want to consider these things, and I apologize, I forgot to double check the promptings, but we'll just give it to you all at once, and that should maybe make it easier for to fill in the blanks. But we'll see the first one there is time. It takes time to build relationships. Ephesians chapter 5, it talks the idea that we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, we're to redeem the time because the days are evil. That relationships take a lot of investment. Big investment of time, that we have to work at them. We have to be willing to invest the time to develop relationships. If we don't spend any time with people, we're not going to have a relationship with them. We're just, that's natural. So there's many things in our life that tend to cause us to lose track of time. But we really have to think, okay, relationships are important. I need to make the time for them. But secondly, we think that we need to take effort to build relationships. And a lot of times, it can be a lot of hard work. And often we're not willing to put in the effort for one reason or the other. But then we kind of wonder, well, why isn't the relationship the way it should be? And we want to realize it takes effort. It says Ecclesiastes 10:18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. And so we can think of that. If a building is not maintained, things start failing and falling apart. I know when we first moved into this house, person had before didn't really live in it too much, and so we got here and like the deck was falling off the side of the house, the eavesdrops were kind of drooping off the sides of the house, and so there is a lot of work that we need to do, right? And so that's what happens, is you have to have maintenance, you have to have effort, and if you don't put in that time, then things are going to be falling apart. It's the same with our relationships. If we aren't willing to put in the right effort, we're not going to have the relationships that we desire. So we need time and effort to build relationships. We also need to have a focus, because there's so many things that distract us in life, and so many things that kind of turn our hearts towards other things other than our family. And so we really want to think of that, that we need to have focus. And it talks of that idea of in Malachi chapter 4, speaking of the one coming in the spirit of Elijah, that he would turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers. And that's the thing, is that mentally, emotionally, we need to have a focus on the relationships we have, to take the time to build them as we should. Fourth, we need wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, says, through wisdom is a house builded, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and blessed riches. Right? That you think in building a structure, right? You need to have some wisdom in designing it. A lot of times you need to have it engineered. You have to have someone sign off on the drawings to make sure that it's safe. And so it's the idea when it comes to building our homes, building our families, building our relationships, we need wisdom. That's how it's going to develop. And we see as well in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1 where it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. That's the thing. If we're wise, we can be building our homes, building our relationships, building the family unit. But if we're foolish in what we say and what we do, we can quite quickly tear it down. And so we have to be very careful. As well, we need love. Proverbs 10. In verse number 12, it says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And that's the thing, is that we're going to have disagreements, and if we allow just animosity to fester, it can damage our relationship. But when we have love, it's like we let things go, we forgive, we don't hold on to these things. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4, it talks about God drawing his people with the bands of love. And that's really what we want to think of, is when we're trying to build relationships, draw people close to them, we draw them with the bands of love. That when they know that they're loved, that is very meaningful to any of us. But as well, we see too that to build a relationship, there needs to be a respect, a mutual respect for one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So in a marriage relationship, that there is that respect that the wife has for the husband. But we also understand that there is a respect that the husband has for the wife. First Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. Where it says, 3 minutes, verse 7 actually, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That there's an honoring of the wife, that it's the idea is that you take good care of her, you show her respect, there's an honoring of the wife, just the same as there's an honoring of the wife to the husband. And so we want to think of that in that way, the importance of respecting one another, that if there's not a mutual respect in a relationship, that can break down the relationship quite quickly. Next is the idea of communication. And if you're going to have any kind of a relationship, if you're going to build any kind of relationship, you need to be able to communicate one with another. That so often, when you have any kind of break in a relationship, it's a breakdown in communication, where there's serious misunderstandings, where people grow apart and they just don't even know who the other person is anymore. And so there needs to be communication. And we actually see in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and 15 the story of the situation of David with his son Absalom. And what happened is, like, it is really kind of a mess, and I won't go into the whole details of it. But Absalom had done something wrong, and he kind of ended up having to run away from home. But it was time for them to kind of get back together. And so David said, okay, you can come back. You're not a fugitive anymore. But what happens is he never actually really reconnected with his son. That he said, okay, well, you can come back. You can live in this place on the other side of town. And I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone, and everything will be good. And we really see that Absalom wanted to connect with his father. That it was really, it was like, boy, he was kind of forgiven, but not really forgiven. He was still on the outside looking in. And that distancing and lack of communication of David to his son really started to work in Absalom's heart to really turn him where he was basically organizing a rebellion to overthrow his father and take his father's place on the throne. And it's actually interesting when you see his strategy for trying to win over the hearts of the people of Israel to his cause is basically he got to a place where people were coming and they had disputes and trouble, and he would say, well, what's your problem? And he let them share their problem, and then he would say, oh, too bad David doesn't have someone that could that would care about your problem, be willing to help it. And so he was basically, he was communicating with them, he was showing them that he cared, even though we realize it was for, he was manipulating these people. But we see that he was using communication, he was winning the hearts of the people by communicating with them. And David, his father, had lost Absalom's heart by failing to communicate with him. So we really want to see that communication is very important. But then finally, we realize that it takes trust to build relationships. That obviously, if you can't trust someone, you're not going to let them draw near. You're always going to be on your guard. And the relationship will always have a barrier to its development if there's not a feeling of trust in the family relationship. Proverbs 31, verse 11, speaking of the virtuous woman, says, his husband safely trust in her. That, yeah, the heart of his husband was safely trust in her. That there's that relationship of trust, that he knows that she's going to do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so that's important. Malachi chapter 2, it talks, the idea is that the husband is not to deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, that he's supposed to be dedicated to her, he's supposed to be cherishing her, loving her and her alone, and sticking by her no matter what. And that's really what we need. It is, when you have a relationship, it really has to be commitment-based, where a person knows that if things go bad, I'm not running away. I'm going to be right here with you. That's what we think in terms of the marriage vow. It's for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. That regardless of the circumstances, you're going to be there. And that's something for a parent and child relationship too, that the child knows that the parent's going to be there for them. And so it's important. And of course, how do we build trust? It's the idea we see in Luke 16:10, where it says, he that is faithful in least is faithful also in much. And so we build trust in the little things, and that proves we're going to be trustworthy in the big things. And so we want to see these things and really meditate on these thoughts and realize how important these are. And as well, kind of just going to the Lord in prayer and saying, okay, Lord, I need your help. We pray that he'd give us time, and in a way, we think of this time of quarantining and self-isolation, that this is maybe a blessing in disguise, where we have this time to build relationships. And we can, there's a lot less distractions that we can focus in on. But we need God's wisdom, we need God's love, and we need him to teach us to respect one another, to communicate with one another, and we need his help so that we can be trustworthy. And so with all these things, we want to think these are kind of what we need to build relationships. All right. So then we want to consider what our pattern is for healthy relationships. And so we can look through the Bible and try to find different ones, and then there's certainly many examples of husbands and wives and fathers and sons. But of course, it is a struggle to find people that are like what you would identify as being a perfect example to follow. We think of Abraham was kind of a great man in many different ways, but there is different issues between him and Sarah, and of course, him ended up having a child by his servant girl and all that other stuff. And so they didn't always do things right. You see with different ones, David and Solomon, that they ended up having multiple wives and a bunch of kids from multiple wives, and that just led to a lot of stress and other things. And so, really, we want to have a pattern, something to aim for, something to follow. And so, we're very thankful because God gives us the pattern for healthy relationships. And really, we want to understand it in this way, that God wants our relationships to really be a reflection of the relationship that he wants to have with each of us. That's what he's, and we see that in both of these instances that we list here, that a child should their relationship with their father should prepare them for a relationship with their heavenly father, right? That they should know what a father is like and not reject that thought of God being their father because their earthly father was not a good father. So we want to think of it in that way. And so our pattern for healthy relationships as husband and wife is Christ and the church. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so, it's really that idea is that we have that relationship and we see how Christ relates to us as his church. And so we learn to love husbands need to learn to love their wives just like he did, where he was willing to give himself for it. And it's the idea is that he didn't love us when we had it all together and were perfect, right? He loved us despite our many faults and failures. And it is by the power of his love that we're able to transform into something much greater than we were before. And so that's the love that he wants us to show one another. But then as Father and Son, we recognize that God the Father and God the Son, the relationship that they have is a relationship we should desire to have with our son to a father and a father to a son. We see in John chapter 5 how it... Jesus speaks where he says, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, he also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And so we see that they have this relationship where they work together. And we see verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. That's the idea that they sort of back each other up, that the Father expects the Son to be honored with the same honor that he would expect others to have for him, and the Son as well honors his Father. And so we see that relationship. And as we read in John 17, we see that prayer that Jesus has to his Heavenly Father, and just the love that they have, really is where he's submitting to his Father's will, and he's asking his Father's help. And it's the idea is that he and his Father were united, that there was not any disagreement between them, that there was that closeness. And so it's very, you see that, just the strength of that relationship. And so we look at that and we say, hey, that's what God wants to help me develop. That's kind of the goal that he wants me to strive for. And sometimes we would say, well, boy, that's a point that's so like far off of where I am, that's almost discouraging. I think I'll never get to that point. But the fact is two things with that. Is that one, is that we want to set our sights high, that we don't want to just kind of shoot for mediocrity, right? God wants us to prove things are excellent. He wants us to go further. And so he wants to help us in that. And so we want to be willing to go further. But two, we realize is that it isn't like where we have to try to be like God in our relationships with others, in our own strength, because that is just a recipe for frustration. Instead, the whole idea is that we're wanting God to live through us, that we want him to basically use us as a conduit of his love to others. And as we yield to him working in us, then we can become the husband and wife that we want to be, the father and the child, the parent that we want to be, right? And so we want to look at that and strive for that. But then as well, we want to consider what are some signs of a healthy relationship. And these are things we want to realize, okay, if these are present, this is good. We're making progress. We're at a good place. And if these aren't there, then we realize, okay, I've got work to do. So, again, don't look at these and say, oh, this isn't there, and so I'm a failure. It's just look at, okay, I've got ways to go. I've got to get to work. And I've got to put some effort into this and take the time to build this relationship. So first off is the idea of closeness, that when you have a relationship that with one another, and it's a healthy relationship, there is a closeness, and that can be a physical closeness as well as an emotional closeness, right? That you're not pushing away from each other, you're not needing to give each other space because you can't stand each other when you're too close up. And that's the thing, is that we don't want our home to be kind of like this thing where we bicker for a while and then everybody goes to their corner and cools off, right? We'd rather have it where we're together. And we see with Job, and I would say, mention with Job, that he was, if we're looking for someone that's a father figure, an earthly father figure, that was a good example, that we can't really find much that he was had flaws in, Job would be one. But it talks about in Job 29, verse 5, that he talked about this idea of when his children were about him. And it's that idea, he had this closeness with them, that as he was doing things, his children were with him. It wasn't that he was pushing them away, or that they didn't want to be close to him, but there was a togetherness, a closeness. So we want to seek for that in our relationships. Secondly, honesty is a sign of a healthy relationship. When we are able to tell each other the truth, even if it hurts a bit, that's when we can see that our relationship is healthy. That sometimes when we don't know each other how we're going to react, or we're expecting a negative reaction, we may not be fully truthful. We might hold things back. Or we might, someone might ask us to tell us what they think, and we're not honest, that we think, well, what do they actually want to hear? And I will tell them that, and then hopefully that'll settle everything down. And of course, that doesn't help people to know where we're at. And so we see Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6, it says, open rebuke is better than secret love. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And it's the thing, is that, and we can understand that, when we have a good friend, and our relationship is strong, they can tell us stuff to our face that if it was anybody else, we would probably get upset and react. But because they're a friend, we'll take it from them. And our relationship is not going to be weakened by that confrontation. It'll actually be strengthened. And that's kind of the thing is, a lot of times in our relationships, we have a great fear of conflict. And the unfortunate thing is we do everything we can to avoid conflict. But when we do that, really we're missing out on an opportunity to strengthen our relationship. And we want to think of it in those ways, that when we are able to talk about these things, and of course, how we say something is important. We don't just want to be overly critical and point out anybody's problems. We should be constructive in our criticism. We're kind of talking about that this morning, that we want to focus on the positive, even though there are things that maybe need to be brought up. But is we're trying to help each other. We're willing to be honest enough to do that. And so Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And, in our relationships, we should always be trying to better each other and challenge each other to go further in our character and in our skills and other things. And, we're not just trying to pat each other on the head and say, oh yeah, you're fine. Just kind of don't try or anything. Just take it easy. But no, we're pushing ourselves forward. That's, we want to sharpen each other. And so having honesty and be able to do that and have someone share with us and sometimes rebuke us when we're doing wrong and that we don't react. Instead, we accept what they have to say. That's a sign of a healthy relationship. But then as well with that comes the idea of vulnerability. Because if you trust someone, if you know that they're not going to use things against you or hurt you later on, you're willing to make yourself vulnerable. And Psalm 62 verse 8, it's the psalmist speaking of God and the idea, I'll just find it here. Psalm 62, in verse number 8 says, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him, God is a refuge for us. And so that's the thing, is that there are times when we're struggling, and we need to share it with someone, and with God we know that we can trust him. And so we can pour out our hearts before him. And we can know that it's between us and him, and that it's he's going to bear our burdens with us. And so it's the thing is we want to have that same ability to be vulnerable with other people, especially with people in our own family, that we can say, okay, I'm struggling in this area, or this really hurt me, I'm having trouble processing what just happened. And being able to do that without expecting the other person to all just suck it up, what's the matter with you, or you shouldn't have it together more, being critical. And instead we can lay things out and know that people will listen, people will be supportive and be willing to give encouragement in those areas. And that's when we have that in a relationship, that's a sign of a healthy relationship. And so there's probably many other signs we could think of, but I just wanted to zero in on those three that we can see. When those are present, you say, okay, we're making progress, where this relationship is getting strong. And we need that. Especially when we're dealing with different things in life. But then, lastly, we want to consider challenges that come in building relationships. Because you think of it this way. For most times, if I'm doing a building project, right, usually, I go there and I can work with few distractions and I come back the next day and pretty well everything is as I left it, right? But imagine if you were trying to build something and you had people that were coming along going behind you trying to tear down what you built up. Or imagine if you made some progress and you come the next day and here it's all been broken down or damaged, or say all your tools have been stolen. That would be very frustrating, right? But we think of it in building relationships, that's a lot of times what we're dealing with. And usually It's like, yes, there can be things on the outside of our families that do present challenges, but so often we find there's things that we're doing that build it up, but then there's other things that we do that tear it down. And like one example can be, you can build a relationship and be making progress, but then one angry outburst can really destroy a lot of the progress you've made in a relationship. And so we want to recognize these challenges and not allow them to be an excuse or to minimize them, but instead to say, okay, this is coming up. I have to guard against this. And so when it comes to building relationships, we are often our own worst enemies. And so we have tendencies that we need to fight against. We have tendencies to fight against the good that we're trying to do, and so we need to guard against those tendencies. We need to realize, okay, yeah, sometimes when it comes to building the relationship, I'm part of the problem. Many times, of course, what do we try to want to do is say, oh, no, I'm fine, that they're the ones that have a problem. I was listening to a message by S.M. Davis, and he was talking about counseling with this couple that were struggling, and he gave them a questionnaire, and basically there was one question on the questionnaire that was, if there is one thing that you could do to strengthen your relationship, what would it be? And the husband left that blank. And so when he went through the questionnaire with him, he asked, well, why did you leave this blank? And it's like, you need to fill that in. And he basically said, oh, no, I don't have any problems. It's all her problem. I'm fine. She's the one that needs the help. And, of course, as soon as he said that, S.M. Davis knew right away, no, this guy is probably the big part of the problem, just because of his attitude. And so we want to realize that it isn't like we think with Adam and Eve from the very beginning. What, there's a problem, there's a crisis, so what did they do? They ended up pointing fingers at each other instead of taking responsibility. And so we need to not do that and look at these things and say, okay, I want to build this relationship, but there's other things that I tend to be doing that's going to tear it down, so I need to guard against those. And so this is a thought, that relationships are built as connections and good memories are made. And we think of that. When we take time to spend time with one another, when we have meaningful experiences, that those are good memories. And we kind of think in the way our brains work with dopamine levels and things, that when we have a good experience, it leaves us a good memory. And so it makes us to want to come back for more. And so that's a good thing. But of course, we have to be careful, because we have the tendency, one, to be manipulative, and secondly, we can be manipulated. And so think of it this way, right? That you could have, that a parent wants to have a relationship with their child, and so they think, okay, well, I want my child to love me and appreciate me, so what am I going to do? I'm going to go buy them a whole bunch of stuff. And so they'll really like me. And so with a child, they would look at it, well, hey, I get all this stuff, and this is great. I love this stuff. I love these toys. I love these different things. And so then they might get to a point where they say, hey, well, maybe if I act up, then they'll give me more stuff, so that then everything's cool again. And a parent can kind of be the thought, okay, well, if I just give them what they want, then that'll be fine. And so sometimes that's what happens, is we're trying to just give in and whatever we have to do to make the other person happy, even though it might not be what's best for them, that's what we can do. And so we have to realize that and realize that that it's we can be manipulative to others and using them to get something we want, and we can be manipulated. And what happens when we're in that situation, and it's what you would identify as a codependent relationship. It's not a healthy relationship. It can actually be very toxic to the point where you can have like a teenage child or young adult that might be an addict and is basically looking to the parents to shield them from the consequences of their poor decisions and to continue to enable them to continue on their addiction. And you realize, okay, that's not going to be a healthy relationship for them, or not a healthy relationship for parents. So you don't want to get into that kind of relationship. And so we want to realize that. And when that's happening, we say, wait a minute, something is wrong here. We've kind of built this the wrong way. And so we need to start re-examining how we relate to one another. This is thought too, that our selfishness causes us to value the relationship only for what others can give to us. And that's what we can get to be. And when we're children, of course, we can have a very selfish bent that we need to grow out of. But sometimes we don't grow out of that, even as adults. That it's like, well, what does this person give to me? And as long as I feel they're giving what I want to me, then I'm good with this relationship. But if suddenly I don't feel that they're giving me what I want, then I think, well, what's the point of continuing this relationship? What's the point of investing? And we really want to turn our minds completely around on that, that we're not in a relationship for what we get out of it. Instead, we want to value our relationship as an opportunity to give back to others. That it's the thing is that when you're married, you have a spouse that you can minister to and connect with. You have children, that it's something that you can provide for them, that you can give of yourself to them. That's valuable, isn't it? Because that's the thing is that sometimes you can have it where, oh, well, kids are crabby. They're not fulfilling my needs of kind of getting a pat on the back. And so I'm going to be upset with them because of that. It's like, no, I need to be the adult. I need to respond properly. But the thing is, too, is we struggle to love selflessly. That we tend to do what's would otherwise be known as self-love, where we're giving of ourselves to others, but it's always with this thought of return. Kind of, I'm going to do this, but I'm expecting you to give me something back. And what it is when we're in that situation, we want to recognize that that's not actually that's more an economic transaction than it is a relationship, where basically I expect to be paid for the services rendered. And you can have that as a relationship, but that's not going to be a good relationship. And so we need to instead follow God's example and show love regardless of what the response to it might be. Because if we're always giving and expecting the other to give back before we give, then we're always going to be kind of withholding things. You kind of think of that idea, talks about Ephesians, husband is to love his wife, wife is supposed to reverence her husband, and so often what happens, it's the idea, oh, well, they're not reverencing me enough, so that means I don't have to love them, and this person says, well, he's not loving me enough, so I don't have to reverence him. That's not the case. God says, whatever they're doing, you still need to do what you're supposed to do. That if one might not be doing what they should to build a relationship, but you don't want to have both of you deciding, okay, we're both going to tear it down by not doing what we should. That we love selflessly, that we give, even if we don't necessarily have that return right away. Because that's the thing with God, is that He loves us, and we don't always return His love. That doesn't mean He stops loving us or withholds His love for us. Well, this is a thought, that we demonstrate true love and build healthy relationships when we give each other what we truly need, not simply what we may want in the moment. And so we want to think about that, where we know that God loves us. And it says there in Proverbs chapter 13, that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. That there's times, as our parent, when we do wrong, where we go on the wrong path, that He brings consequences to bear upon us to bring us back into the right place. And we can think of that as parents, that we do have to correct our children every time they're strained. And it's not being cool then. A lot of times if we just give in, that we're actually making it worse for them. And so we see this thought in Hebrews chapter 9, speaking of God's chastening of us, it says, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection of the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That sometimes we think of that, that especially when we're growing up, that when we receive correction and rebuke from our parents for something that we're doing that was wrong, we didn't appreciate it at the time, but then later on we realized, yeah, I needed that. I was going down the wrong path, and they steered me back to the right path. And it's the same with the relationship with God, that that's what He does, is that He sees us going off the wrong path, and it's because He loves us, He wants to bring us back. So that's what we have to do, is that sometimes we do have to show tough love. That in the moment, especially when we're parenting, a child may not appreciate the correction and forgiving. I think all of us that have kids have probably had our child say, when we're trying to do something that's in their best interest, well, I don't like you. And sometimes we can, if we're in an emotionally weak place, that really hurts us. But then we kind of realize, yeah, they're just, again, trying to be manipulative. And we need to be the grown-up and not let it get to us and say, okay, they're not appreciating this now, but they will later. And that's what someone has said, is that if you want to be friends with your children when they're adults, you need to be their parent right now. And if you're wanting to be, if you're going to be their friend right now, then you're going to leave them in trouble. You're going to try to be their parent when they're older and making bad decisions, but it's not going to work. So that's what we have to learn to do, is to give each other what, not what we may want in the moment, but what we actually need. But then as well, we build relationships as we build up each other. And then you really think of that. We want to have a good connection, a good memory. And so we want to always be having it where a person sees that this person is not belittling me, is not discouraging me, not insulting me. They're trying to challenge me to do better. And so we should desire that. And so all that we say and do should be edifying. And the word edifying simply means to be building up the other person. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So that's what we need to have, is that we're building people up with the words. Romans chapter 14, verse 9, it says, let us follow after things that make for peace, the things for which we may edify one another. And so that's what we want to do, is build each other up. And by our words, by our actions, that we're doing things that help the other person become stronger. And that's something, if they see us doing that, that's going to, they're going to appreciate that. Maybe not in the moment, but they will in time. Realize, yes, I'm thankful that this person was willing to do that. Maybe willing to deny me certain things because they have something better for me that they want me to strive for. And so it's really learning that, the value of edification. And as well, something that we struggle with a lot is we struggle to forgive. That there's always different times where we do something wrong to one another. We do something that hurts the relationship. But a lot of times we make it worse because we allow bitterness to fester, where we hold a grudge. We sometimes give each other the silent treatment. We just get ourselves in a place where we're not speaking to each other, and the relationship is just crumbling, and it's a lot because we're not willing to forgive one another when we wrong one another. And so what we need to do is we need to follow God's example. We need to let go of our bitterness, and we need to take the initiative in reconciliation, that we're to put away bitterness and wrath and anger, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. That Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks, if you have something between you and a brother, he says, before you even come to do any kind of religious observance, he says, go and get reconciled with your brother first and then come back. And we make that a priority. We don't wait for him to come to us, but we go to him and we make it right. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see really the example of God is that we were sinners, we had wronged God, but yet he stepped forward to reconcile us to himself. He did what was necessary for that to happen. And so then he's encouraging us, he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, that as we were reconciled to God, that then we reconcile with one another. So we want to realize that yes, something that happened might hurt, but our relationship with the person is much more important. And so we want to value our relationship and be willing to forgive and let those things, all those things go rather than holding on to them. And as well, with any relationships that we have, there are going to be times where we go through some rough spots. And that's just going to happen. We don't need to expect it. We need to really be mentally and emotionally prepared for that. Because if we're not, our tendency might be a flight response. That things are getting difficult. We don't know what to do. And so we basically withdraw from each other. That we do something else to distract us from the problems that we're having. Sometimes it can be where we just immerse ourselves and say, guys watching sports, ladies shopping or doing other things, or maybe we both just kind of surfing the net or something like that. And instead of saying, okay, I need to get in there, I need to try to invest, we need to work through this and figure this out. And so and some of the problems, too, is that we realize is we might get to a point where we don't know what to do, and so we run. And we again, kind of the thought is we need to have a commitment to one another where we know that we're going to be with each other through the rough times, too. But sometimes what can happen is we're struggling, we don't know what to do, and we think the solution is running away. And so we think that sometimes it is husband and wife, that this was a mistake, don't know what to do, so we'll end this relationship, get divorced, and we get remarried. But then again, if a new spouse, we have disagreements, we've developed this pattern. It gets too rough, then I run. I leave, and I try something else. I try someone else. And instead, we got to realize, okay, I need to stop running. I need to say, okay, let's deal with this. Let's figure out what to do. And so that's the thing, is that the rough spots, they're not going to last forever. And the more time we invest, the sooner we can get through them.
Yeah.
And so we need to have patience. We need to remain engaged with each other instead of separating from each other. And we need to work through whatever the trouble might be. We see in Colossians chapter 3, where it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any." That we put up with each other, we show long-suffering and patience, we show mercy, and we work through it. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 36, it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." That really is the thing, is that we're going to be at a point where relationship isn't good, but if we apply the principles that God has in His Word for us, and we do what's right, it's not going to necessarily turn around right away, but if we keep at it, we can see changes happen and great things occur. And so we want to work through those challenges and really again realize that the relationships we have, especially the family relationships, they're more valuable than anything else that we possess. And we don't want to take them for granted. We don't want to squander the opportunity we have to build those relationships. We want to make the most of it. And it's going to take work. It's going to take time. But it's going to be worth it. And so, we need each other to lean on, especially in stressful times. And in this situation that our world is in right now, it is a stressful time. And so we need each other. We don't want to be at each other's throats all this time, allowing the stress to get to us. We want instead to have it where we're there for each other in this difficult time. This is parents especially, that we're there for our kids, helping them to navigate through this, because it's probably kind of scary for them. And so they're looking to us for some, when everything else that they maybe figured was something they could rely upon is kind of shifting. We certainly don't want to have their relationship with their parents to be shifting too. We want that to be stable and firm. And so while the stresses of life can put strain on our relationships, they can also be an opportunity for us to develop even stronger bonds. So as we each draw near to God for strength and wisdom. And that's the thing, is that we need His strength, we need His wisdom, we need His help in growing our relationships. And so as we draw close to Him, that then we also draw closer to each other, so that together we can weather the storms of life. So that's the lesson for tonight. I'm just going to close off the screen here, and just want to thank you for joining with us online tonight. I hope that this has been a help, and if it has, and you might have some friends that could benefit from this too, I encourage you to let them know so they can watch it as well. And two, if you have questions or maybe some things you're dealing with and you say, I could use someone to talk to kind of work through some of these things, feel free to call me. I'd be glad to try to help you if I could. And we all have struggles, and especially this time, there's a lot of stress on us, and we want to do things right. So thanks again for watching, and of course we're going to be doing some different things coming up this week. I'll be putting up some different videos on what's coming up towards Easter online. But just appreciate you being a part of our time tonight. And so let's just pray and we'll be dismissed. Dearly Father, we just thank you for this time we've been able to share together. And we just pray you help us in the old relationships with our family members and others. Just help us to make the time and the effort to see you work and so that we can experience healing in our homes. That through this challenging time, that when we emerge from it, whenever that will